Well, good morning. It's lovely to see so many familiar faces. I kind of feel like I'm getting to know you guys. I've seen a number of you on A Schools and at different times, different weekends like this. We'll talk a bit later on in the day about what an A School is, but many of you have been on an A School and had your lives changed through that. But we'll talk a little bit more about that after lunch. And we've got some testimonies to play as well. Because we have another A School coming up in July. But we'll come and talk about that later. We're going to spend today talking about comfort. We're going to spend the whole day talking about comfort. But I don't want to just talk about comfort. I want us to receive comfort. Comfort is mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, in different formats, in different forms, in different settings, in different, different people, different circumstances. And I think if something is mentioned in the Bible over 100 times, it ought to be important for us to understand it. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about things that are only mentioned in the Bible once or twice. And here's something that's mentioned over 100 times. And I think it must be a really big thing on God's heart if he mentions it so many times through his word. And so we're going to talk about comfort. I think it's a huge topic. But I don't want to think of it as a topic today. Because when we think of a topic, we think of something we have to understand with our mind, and we think of something we have to rationalize and work out and understand conceptually. Well, comfort is not like that. Comfort is something we experience in the depth of our heart. Comfort is an expression of love that reaches right into the depths of our heart. And, you know, one of the sad things I find as I travel around not only this country but around Europe and around the world is when I say to people I'm going to be talking on comfort, most people say to me they've never heard anyone talk on comfort before. And I think, like, this is such an important theme throughout the whole Bible. How come we've missed it for so long? And, you know, so many people say, I've never heard anyone talk on comfort. And today we're going to spend the whole day talking about it and receiving it and beginning to live in it. I've recently written a booklet called The Father's Comfort, and I'm going to be talking through that today, and it's available on the resources table for you to buy a copy later if you'd like to. But before we start to talk about the biblical expression of comfort, let me tell you what the dictionary definition of comfort is. The dictionary definition says comfort is to bring relief from pain, distress, or affliction, to satisfy and strengthen within, to provide a sense of well-being and quiet enjoyment. Now, that's the dictionary definition. And I think they've really caught hold of what comfort really is. Comfort brings relief from pain, distress, and affliction. And if we were to go around the room and just ask the question, how many of you have experienced pain, distress, or affliction? I think most of us would put up our hands. And those that don't put up our hands probably should be putting up their hands. Because I think all of us in some way or another through our lives have suffered from these things. And comfort is the thing that brings relief from pain, from distress, from affliction. And it brings us this quiet strength and satisfaction deep within our hearts. You see, that's what we're going to be talking about today, and that's what we're going to be receiving today. is the Father's comfort, because it's an expression of his love that goes right into the depths of our heart, right to the core of our pain. But I believe it's not just something we receive when we are in pain or distress. You know, I think we can go on receiving comfort and living in comfort so that we get to the stage where we're living out of the overflow of comfort. And, you know, that's where I want to get to as the afternoon goes, as we get through into the afternoon, of how can we live in a place of comfort where it overflows from us. But, you know, we have to start at the beginning. And the beginning is learning to receive comfort to bring us that relief from the pain and the distress and the turmoil that we experience in our hearts. You know, Mike said in his introduction that a lot of people think comfort is for the ladies. Well, you know what? It is. But it's for us guys as well, because we need to be comforted. You know, if we're not comforted, we become hard-hearted. And that's the same for each one of us. And, you know, I think some of us guys, we think we have to be sort of macho and strong and tough, and anything of the emotions we have to push to one side. And, you know, we're very good at doing that. But I don't believe that's the Father's heart for us. You know, I believe he wants us to experience things with our emotions. Because do you know what? He gave us our emotions. And he gave us men emotions. And for too long, we've pushed them down and we've tried to suppress them and we've tried to say, oh, that's not manly. And, you know, I really believe we've missed out on so much of what the Father wants to do in our hearts. And how he wants to make us a representation of him on this earth. You know, how he wants us to walk and live as his son Jesus walked and lived. You know, because Jesus lived his whole life in that perfect environment of love. And when he walked around with his disciples, you know, I believe whenever he looked at people, he didn't condemn them or he didn't judge them. But in his eyes was just that look of total love. And, you know, people would meet Jesus and that encounter with Jesus would change their lives. Not necessarily because of what he'd said or what he'd done, but I believe of what he communicated from his spirit to their spirit. That they received the love and the affirmation that they so longed for. You know, and I believe as the Father fills us with his comfort, we can start to be ministers of his love and his comfort to the people around us. And we may find that we just look at people and that look of love transforms their life. But we can't do that until we've received comfort for our own pain and our own turmoil and got to that place where we start to live in that surplus of comfort. See, we're going to see as today goes on how immense comfort is. We're going to look at a number of passages throughout Scripture that talks about God the Father comforting his people and what that comfort looks like. And, you know, I hope we can pause as the day goes on just to receive that into our hearts. You know, and it may be that I say something that rings a chord in your own heart. And I would just encourage you, you know, even as, you know, we're carrying on, is just for you to say at that moment, Father, will you pour your comfort into my heart? And just pause in your own spirit and receive what he wants to do for you. Because this whole topic, this whole theme of comfort is something that will really, really change our lives. And it's something we receive in our hearts. Our hearts are touched. Our hearts experience comfort. But before we start to look at comfort, I want to look at what it looks like for when we are uncomforted or comfortless. See, another word for comfort is comfortable. You know, you're comfortable in your own home, I hope. You know, you can come in and you can sit on your favorite chair and you can put your feet up and you can go, ah. You know, you can have had a busy day and you can have had all the stress of work, but you've got that comfortable place where you come back to. You're comfortable with friends. You know, last night we had a meal at Mike and Sue's house, and Helene was there, and Norman and Johanna were there, and it was just a comfortable evening because we were just friends together, sitting around the table, you know, having a meal, sharing stories, talking together. It just, for me, it just felt very comfortable. I mean, I didn't have the stress of cooking the meal and doing all the tidying up and clearing up, you know. But Sue looked like she was pretty comfortable as well. You know, because comfort makes us comfortable. And, you know what it's like when you feel comfortable. You feel like you can relax. And you can just go, ah. It's like, you know, you feel at home, don't you? You know, we don't necessarily, you know, we can feel comfortable in different places. I feel very comfortable in my office. You know, it's a familiar place. I know the staff. I know my clients. I generally know what I'm doing. You know, and most of the time I feel very comfortable there. You know, I feel very comfortable in places like this because I'm just with my father's family. You know, and we can just enjoy one another. So, you know, when we think about comfort, let's think about what it means to be comfortable. Because we understand that a little bit more, don't we? We know what it's like to be comfortable, and we know the peace and the tranquility that we experience at those times. But I just want to look briefly at what it's like when we don't receive comfort. And Solomon writes about this in Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is one of the books in the Bible that we don't read very often. Well, you know, if you want to get depressed, read Ecclesiastes. You know, it's not really one of the most cheerful books in the Bible. But Solomon writes about what it's like when people haven't received comfort. And it's a frightening picture. But sadly, it's really how many of us live and have lived. And Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. He says, "Again, I observed all the oppression that takes place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed with no one to comfort them. The oppressors have great power, and there was no one to comfort them. So I concluded that the dead are better off than the living. But most fortunate of all are those who haven't even been born, for they have not seen all the evil that is done under the sun." That's a frightening picture, isn't it? Solomon, at the end of his long life, is looking back over his life, all of the ups and downs of his life. And his conclusion, you know, in summary, is that a life without God is meaningless. And the only way we can have a fruitful life is to have this life-giving relationship with our Creator. And Solomon looks and he sees people who haven't been comforted. And what's more, they haven't got anyone to comfort them. And Solomon looks at them, he sees them oppressed, he sees them under this great burden, and he describes it as being too overwhelming. You know, too much for the people to bear. that here they are, that they are not comforted and there's no one to comfort them, and it's too much. And Solomon's conclusion is frightening because he says we are better off dead than rather than living without comfort. We're better off dead rather than living without comfort. And, you know, I believe we need to take that to heart because it shows us the importance of receiving comfort. But, you know, Solomon doesn't stop there. You know, he says, actually, the people are the best off are those that haven't even been born, because they don't have the chance to live in a life without comfort. And I find that so shocking that, you know, Solomon just puts it in black and white there, that if we don't receive comfort, you know, actually, we're better off never to have been born, because comfort is so important to us. And to me, this is the tragedy of a lot of our lives, is we've lived without comfort. And for me, when I was 10 years old, my dad was killed in a car accident, as many of you will know who've heard my story. And 2 years later, when I was 12 years old, I was sent to a boarding school where I was for the next 6 years. And yeah, there were a lot of things about my boarding school that I really enjoyed, you know? But those aren't the things that cause you problems in life. You know, I did a lot of good things. I had a lot of fun and a lot of good experiences. But also, you know, on the other side of the coin, my boarding school life was a very comfortless life. It was very regimented. The house parents of our house, they'd never had their own children. They'd been missionary teachers in Ghana for many, many years. And before that, he'd been in the military. So, you know, 30 boys in this house, it was run like a small military operation with a lot of discipline and rules for everything. And I can still take you through I could recite to you the time schedule of the morning, you know, of when we got up and what we did and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and it was a very, very harsh way of life. And, you know, I very quickly closed down because, you know, I realized, I wouldn't put these words on it, but, you know, I realized for me to survive in that environment, I had to protect my heart. And so I built a big wall around it. And I felt like I'd lost my dad, which I had, of course, in the car accident. But I also felt like I'd lost my mum. Because although she was still there, you know, I was apart from her for 3/4 of the year, or 2/3 of the year. And I felt like I'd lost my sisters as well, you know, because they were at home and I was at boarding school. And I would see them every 6 weeks. And, you know, I didn't receive the comfort I needed, you know, as a young boy. And it took years and years and years until I could get to the place where I knew this is what I needed. And I thought it would be a simple case of going up to the front at the end of a meeting and being prayed for. And then it would all be sorted and I would all be okay and I would have all the comfort I needed and life would be wonderful. It doesn't work like that. You know, we receive comfort and we go on receiving comfort, because stuff happens to us in our everyday lives that we need to be comforted for. And I'm learning to live in comfort and to keep receiving comfort. Because I like the word of God. And I feel like if something is mentioned over 100 times, we need to take it to heart. And we need to receive the revelation into our hearts of what that's saying. And, you know, not for it to be something that we don't talk about. And, you know, I read this passage in Ecclesiastes, and I just see the tragedy of the human heart when it's not comforted. And many of you might be able to look into your own lives and see that you haven't been comforted, and see that you are comfortless. And you know, even as I'm talking now, you can feel the loneliness that comes with that sense of lack of comfort. You can feel like I'm just pushing on the pain. And Father wants to comfort us today. He doesn't want us to live without comfort. He doesn't want us to live in this tragedy that Solomon describes. You know, the sad thing is, if we don't receive comfort from our Heavenly Father, we look for comfort elsewhere. You know, we might let Mike off with the biscuit tin. But it can escalate, can't it, from the biscuit tin? It can escalate into wrong relationships, into sex, into drugs, into alcohol, into shopping, into overeating, into all sorts of things that we try and get comfort from. And you know what? We are comforted for a while. You know, you can feel really miserable and you can go and buy a big bar of chocolate and eat it and feel happier for about 5 minutes. And then you suddenly realize that the pain is still there. Because as wonderful as chocolate is, it's not the answer to being without comfort. You know, it helps for a moment, but it doesn't deal with the root issue. And many of us will have run to false comforts to try and deal with the pain in our heart. And we realize after a short period of time that it doesn't work. Because the only answer is to come to our Father and ask Him to comfort us. And Jesus is very concerned that we shouldn't live without comfort. Which is why in John chapter 14, He promises that He will give us another comforter. Which must mean, of course, that He was a comforter, if we're going to get another comforter. And we'll look at that a little bit later on this morning. But this other comforter is with us forever and lives in our heart and enables us to cry, Abba, Father. Because there is an answer to this big problem of the human heart. And it's living in love. See, many of us know what it's like not to receive comfort. And there's that pain and emptiness inside of us that we carry around, and it almost becomes a familiar friend. But it doesn't have to be a familiar friend, because our Father can deal with that emptiness and bring us to a place where we know we're comforted by Him. You know, one of the big times that we need to receive comfort is when we experience trauma. Now, we all experience trauma, and we all experience it differently. You know, what may be traumatic for me, what might be sort of really sort of difficult for me, it might be absolutely nothing for Norman. You know, it might just be like, oh, well, what's Mark fussing about? Because we react to situations differently. We respond differently, and what might be difficult for me, it might not be a problem for you. And you know what? That's okay. But we all go through trauma, and sometimes we try to cope with it. Maybe we try and fight our way through it. Maybe we even pretend it's never happened. But ultimately, the only solution for the trauma we've been through is for us to experience comfort. Because trauma leaves us feeling emotionally empty. You know, when we are in shock, we need comfort. When we are alone, abandoned, in pain, sick, wounded, broken, bereaved, rejected, we need to experience comfort. And the thing I've discovered about trauma and comfort is whatever the level of trauma we've experienced, we need to experience a greater level of comfort. The way I see it is like a container filled with trauma. See, comfort doesn't come on top of the trauma. You know, you've got this container of your heart filled with trauma, and someone comes along and they think just pouring a little bit of comfort on the top will solve the problem. Well, it won't. The way I see it is like you've got this trauma in the container of our heart, and comfort goes down the side of the container to the bottom. And the more comfort we receive, it gradually causes the trauma to float up on the comfort. But the trauma is still there until we've received more comfort than the trauma. And then our heart is full of comfort and the trauma is washed away. See, I think one of the sad things is we know we're traumatized. We know we need to receive comfort for that trauma, and we go and get a little pat on the back and we think that's enough. But it's not. We need to receive more comfort than the trauma we've experienced. So that instead of having that trauma in our hearts, we have comfort in our hearts. And I want to encourage you to look into your hearts today and see the trauma that you've experienced. Maybe even the trauma that you are experiencing right now. Because we're not talking all the time about historical events. We're talking about life today. We're talking about life on Monday morning. And I want to encourage you to look into your hearts and say, where are those areas of trauma in my heart? And then ask the Father to pour more comfort into your heart than the trauma you've experienced. If we don't receive more comfort than the trauma, we are left in distress. We are left in pain. But in time, I believe all of that pain and affliction and trauma can be taken out of our hearts. You know, I wish I was offering you a quick fix solution. You know, I wish I could click my fingers and it would all be sorted. But, you know, you and I know that life's not like that. You and I know that this is a journey that we go on, and that's why I say we receive comfort, but we have to go on receiving comfort. Because, you know, we can deal with the past trauma, and then on Monday morning someone can say something to us that causes a new trauma into our hearts. And we need to receive comfort for that. However big or however small the trauma is, we need to be comforted. And, you know, sometimes we think that trauma is only the big things, like losing, you know, the loss of a loved one, or, you know, the loss of our job, or the loss of family members or something. But, you know, trauma can be very small. It can be someone saying a word to you that just cuts into your heart. It can be an event at work or at home or in the shops that just causes like an arrow to go into your heart. And that's trauma. And it's, you know, it's even for those little things that we need to be comforted for. That we think maybe are just inconsequential part of daily life. And we kind of carry them thinking, oh, this is just what life's about. But gradually those things weigh us down. And we end up carrying this burden. And what the Father wants to do is he wants to lift that burden off us so that we can live a comfortable life. Not a life of distress and pain and affliction. But he wants us to live a comfortable life. I've decided I want to live a comfortable life too. It's actually a lot more enjoyable. You know, but it does mean going to those points of pain. Those traumas, those traumatic events, and saying, Father, will you heal me? See, yeah, I first came into this revelation of the Father loving me about 15 years ago, nearly 16 years ago. And, you know, the big thing for me at that time was allowing him to comfort me for the loss of my dad when I was a 10-year-old boy. And, you know, all of the pain of that and everything else and the loss and so on. And I know that he did. And, you know, I know that's not an issue in my life of pain anymore because the Father healed that. You know, again, it would have been nice if it had been like that. But it was over a period of 2 or 3 years that, you know, I knew I got to that place where Father had comforted me and healed me for the loss of my dad. And I thought my life was good. But about 18 months ago, I was sitting in my living room at home, and Father said to me, "You need a deeper homecoming." I thought, what? What do you mean? My heart's come home. You know, I'm all right. And he said, I've comforted you for the loss of your dad, but you haven't let me comfort you for going to boarding school. I thought, oh, where did that come from? And I said, okay. I was very protective, very defensive, because I suddenly realized actually there was a lot of pain in my heart. But I said, so, okay, Father, what does that look like? And he said, well, why don't you write down what you felt when you went to boarding school? Now, I'm not someone who likes journaling. You know, I can just about remember what pen and paper is, because I do everything on computer now, but you know, I felt him say, just get some paper and get a pen and write down what you felt about going to boarding school. Well, I thought I'd write half a page. Fourteen pages later, I suddenly realized there was a lot of pain in my heart. And I just brought it to the Father and said, Father, I need to be comforted for this. You know, and I needed to let him pour his love into my heart to bring that bit of my heart home. You see, he deals with one trauma, but, you know, if you've only suffered one trauma in your life, I kind of think you're unusual. Because most of us have suffered many, many traumas in our lives, and we need to bring each one of them home to the Father. And, you know, sometimes we don't have to name them all, we just know like he's doing it. And it's not always easy. Some of these things that you're thinking about right now are really deep in your heart. Some of these things have caused a lot of pain. And you've built a wall around them because you want to protect your heart, because you don't want to feel pain. I understand that. I did it. There's probably still a few more walls that need to come down. But we build a wall around the pain because we don't want to be hurt. And we kind of push it to one side. But if we're going to let the Father comfort us for those things, we have to go to the point of pain. And it's not easy. It sometimes can take a while. You know, I wish it were the quick fix, but it's not always. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage for us to recognize not only what is in our heart, but also to give the Father permission to come and deal with it. You know, because it's like we're letting him into the center of our heart where we know it's not comfortable. And it takes a lot of courage. But let me tell you, the fruit is worth it. You know, we have to go to that ouch moment. You know, where someone pokes you and you're ouch. You know, we've all got those ouch moments in our heart. And, you know, occasionally people poke them, don't they? And we go, ouch. And we react and we get angry or whatever. But it's only because there's a pain in our heart that someone's touched. You know, the good thing is when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on them, yes, we feel a pain, but he doesn't do it to make us go, ouch. He does it because he wants to heal us. And he wants to restore us. And he wants to bring us into freedom. That's what this is all about. It's all about us living in freedom. And, you know, some people say to me, Mark, how long is this going to take? I've got a very, very simple answer. It takes as long as it takes. You know, I don't know how long it will take. But it will take as long as it takes. And I encourage you to give it time. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah writes this. He says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I don't believe that's double judgment. I believe that's double comfort. Because Isaiah starts off with that passage by saying, comfort, comfort. And what he's really saying is, I will greatly comfort you. And you know, he sees the oppression that the people have been under. He says, I'm coming to comfort you. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah writes, the Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. See, when we receive comfort, the barren and empty places of our heart will be transformed. Instead of a desert, there will be a beautiful garden. Instead of sorrow and sadness, there will be singing and joy. See, when we receive comfort from our Heavenly Father, it completely transforms our life. It changes the barren places, the dead places, into places of joy and life and laughter. And our heart comes alive. You know, we become free. I really believe that this is what it's all about, is us becoming free. See, we need to receive comfort for our trauma, the trauma that we've experienced. Whether it's big trauma or little trauma, it's still trauma. You know, and what may be traumatic to one is not traumatic to another, but we need to receive comfort for all of the trauma we've experienced. We also need to receive comfort when we're mourning. Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. When we are comforted in our times of mourning, our lives will be transformed. You know, we can lose our job, our possessions, our home, our income, our friends, our pets, our church, or even, you know, the painful loss of a loved one. And for each one of us, there will be times of loss. Loss affects us all. It often comes unannounced, but it's always significant. And it will always affect us deeply. Last summer, Fiona and I went to stay with our eldest daughter for a weekend. They just moved house and we went down to see them. And while we were there on the Saturday night, our son, who was at home, he phoned us up and he said, "The cat's not eating anything." And we said, "Well, he's been a bit slow eating his food lately. He's not, you know, he's just eating it over a longer period of time." But John said he's not eaten anything all day. And we got home on the Sunday night and our poor little putty cat was really, really sick. And, you know, 3 days later, we spent a huge amount on vet's bills and everything else, and there was no way he was going to get better. And we had to take the decision to put this little putty cat down. And so I went to the vet and I was in the room when it happened. And I just burst into tears. With the, you know, the vet nurse was, she was lovely and obviously seen it all before, you know. And then I took him home and dug a hole in the garden to bury him. I was just in tears the whole time I was doing it. And I suddenly realized, you know, this was a loss. You know, I'd lost my little putty cat. Now, I went to work a few days later and I told some of my colleagues, "Oh, our cat died," and they just laughed at me. Like, you know, like you do. And I realized then that loss affects us deeply, but it may not affect other people. And what is a loss for us may not bother other people. What is a loss to them may not bother us. But I suddenly saw, you know, that how important it is when we suffer loss, whatever it is to allow ourselves to grieve. And allow ourselves to mourn. Because I believe that mourning is part of the healing process. Grieving a loss, however big the loss is, however any loss is significant to you. If you suffer loss, that's significant. And whatever it is, I encourage you to grieve. I encourage you to mourn. Because, you know, some of us mourn in private, but I believe it's only a hard heart that doesn't grieve or mourn at all when they suffer loss. If our heart is really, really hard and closed, then when we suffer loss, we just say, "Oh, that's life," and we get on with it, and we just pushed it down. But if we allow ourselves to mourn and to grieve, we will be comforted. I believe mourning and grieving is a God-given gift which enables our hearts to be healed. Because without that season of mourning, which can be different lengths of time for different people, all we do is we bury the pain in our heart. And all we do is we end up with bitterness and resentment. Mourning allows us to release what we've lost. And in time, it allows our heart to be renewed. And when we mourn, we have the promise of Jesus that we will be comforted. And I like the way the Message puts that beatitude that I read a few moments ago. The message says, you are blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. When we allow ourselves to be comforted when we're mourning, we are held in that embrace of perfect love. We are held in the Father's arms, and he will pour his comfort into our hearts. He will pour his comfort into our hearts. He will hold us. He will embrace us in perfect love. And Isaiah puts it like this in Isaiah 40 verse 11. He describes it as a shepherd holding a lamb. You know, when our Father holds us in that perfect embrace, he holds us close to his heart like a shepherd holds a little lamb. And Isaiah says in chapter 63 verse 13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted. See, mourning is not just about the big losses in our lives. It's something we need to do for every loss. And I want to encourage us this morning to become sensitive to our own heart and to be able to discern what we've lost. Because when we can see what we've lost, we can allow ourselves to grieve and to mourn. And we can bring our heart to the Father and say, Father, I'm grieving. Will you comfort me? You know, we have this promise that he will comfort us when we mourn. And you know, as we become sensitive to our own heart, I believe we become sensitive to other people's hearts. You know, if we are sensitive to other people's hearts, we will not laugh at them when the cat has died, like my colleagues did in my office, because we will recognize that that is a loss to them. Even though we wouldn't feel it that way, they are feeling it. And as our hearts become sensitive to our own pain, we actually become more sensitive to other people. And then we can embrace them with love, just as we have been embraced with love. We can give them space and time to grieve. We're going to stop for a coffee break in a minute or two. But I've talked about what it's like when we don't receive comfort, when we're comfortless. You know, Solomon's saying you're better off dead. We've talked about comfort, receiving comfort for all the trauma in our lives. We've talked about comfort for when we mourn. I'm just going to put a little bit of music on for a few moments. And I just want you to bring your own heart to the Father. You know those times that you've not been comforted. You know those times of trauma, those seasons of mourning. Maybe you're in mourning now. Maybe you've lost something. Maybe you are losing something. Father wants to comfort you. So we'll just take a few minutes and let him just ask, just bring your heart and say, Father, you know my heart. You know what I pushed down. You know the pain. Father, will you come and comfort me? And he will.